informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
The two heavy hitters in the NBA reporting world, Shams and Woj.
Not Ben DuBose?
Isn't it crazy? No, that's Rockets news, not NBA news.
Oh, right.
And also anti-Major League Baseball umpires.
And referees in the NBA.
Yep, that's true. I lost my train of thought. Isn't it crazy that Shams and Woj are like both on like first name bases? Like they're Madonna, they're Pele. Like that's how good they are. I think it also helps that their names are very difficult to pronounce, that it's very easy to say Woj and Shams because their names are so difficult
to
pronounce.
Well, you had to create one for Brian Windhorst until he was Windy. Now Windy is you know, what everybody calls him. But before it was that Brian guy, that Windhorst.
That followed LeBron everywhere. Windy's second tier, man.
His whole career has been made because of following LeBron.
Yeah, I mean, good career if you can get it.
Aim at him because he's making good money.
Anyway, Shams and Woj are both reporting that, I guess phrasing here, Kevin Durant has requested a trade away from the Brooklyn Nets. Now, we know that the Houston Rockets own the Brooklyn Nets, or at least have the rights to the Brooklyn Nets first rounder all the way through the year 2027. They have the pick swap option in all of the odd years, 21, 23, 25, 27. They own the Nets first rounder in all of the even years, 22, 24, 26. So Kevin Durant leaving Brooklyn obviously would be good from a Houston Rocket perspective because it lessens a team that you have all of their draft capital for, at least their first rounders, through the year 2027, the rights to. Kevin Durant requesting a trade. Good news for the Houston Rockets. What do you think it means, one, for the Brooklyn Nets, first off?
Well, I think more so than anything else, and we were discussing this during the break, the minute I heard it, it basically told me Kevin Durant's had enough of Kyrie Irving. And Kyrie Irving had to make a business decision, and he decided to opt in. And Kevin Durant decided that because he had decided to opt in, that I want out. Because as much as they came together to be together and be friends forever, we've seen the James Harden era enough to know that friends become enemies real quick and are shown the door as quickly as they are open to it. And when you look at this, especially because KD has tried to stay away from all the back and forth as the Kyrie drama unfolded, not only during the season, but after the season and through him finally picking up his option, you look at this and say, from a Kevin Durant perspective, who signed through 26, to say this says more to me about the fact that he's done with Kyrie than it is about him being done with the Nets.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's very plausible, and all of that means good news for the Rockets.
It's great news for the Rockets. Absolutely phenomenal news for the Rockets. You and I go back and forth. I don't think you could ever say Rafael Stone was playing chess when everyone else was playing checkers. Because so many things have to happen to take a flyer of this magnitude and hope that somehow, some way, a team loaded as much as the Nets were when the deal was made, we're going to crumble to shambles.
To me, it was a probability thing.
They still have a ton of money.
You're talking about the Nets?
The Nets will still always have enough money.
Because you're clearing the Durant, right, and now you have an owner that's willing to spend.
Right.
To me, whenever Stone did that, though, he was taken into mind that no team stays good for 7 years. Even like the teams that stack together a bunch of really good players. Like LeBron in Miami. How good was LeBron great in Miami? A good sustained period of time, but it wasn't 7 years. Like how many teams in NBA in recent memory have been good for 7 seasons? So like where I give Rafael Stone credit to that is like having the understanding to know that even Brooklyn's going to be very good for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, that maybe in year 6, year 7 is whenever you can capitalize. So I think Stone was kind of playing like a numbers game there as opposed to banking on Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving combusting the Brooklyn Nets.
You don't think that he was forced into or wanted to do what James wanted and only traded with the Nets either? Because we don't know what other deals were on the table.
I don't think he picked Brooklyn's 7 first-round draft picks over Philly's 7-round draft picks. I believe he was forced to pick.
Because to me, it was about the picks and what you got back in return.
Yeah.
You know,
differ. But like, I agree with you or Stone. He knew he had to give him to the Nets. Like, I don't think Stone was weighing his options.
Right.
Stone was like, okay, Brooklyn is the team we have to trade with because Harden's telling us that's where he wants to go, and I'm going to be a player's GM, so I'm going to do whatever James Harden wants me to do. So at that point, he's trying to figure out a way to get creative with Brooklyn. And look, I think getting a team's first rounder for 7 years, the rights to them, you're going to have one or two picks that pan out no matter how good that team is when you make that trade.
Yeah, no, and I think that, look, from a Rockets perspective, a lot, you can look at this as, and look, it makes it interesting because there is the possibility that they can completely implode and your picks could have a whole lot more value. But the realistic approach is they're competing with the Knicks. They're competing because they have an owner that wants, as you said, wants to spend money because he wants to be the best.
Mm-hmm.
And he realizes that I only have to have Kyrie for one more year. And then I can have all the money in the world. And also, he's going to get a king's ransom for Durant if he does trade him. And I started just thinking off the top of my head, like, where could he possibly go?
And you still have Simmons. You didn't mention Simmons.
Because I'm not going to ever mention Ben Simmons.
I mean, he's been a good pro.
He looks to me like a guy, until he shows that he's got the stones to play and
fair
he's going to play consistently.
Yeah, I won't push back on that.
I don't even want to see him anymore. I don't want to see him in his deerskin Gucci leather shorts and in his rose colored glasses.
He was deep sea fishing the other day, catching King Marlin or whatever. Kingfish.
Hey, catch me when I care, when he actually plays like, you know, he's like Kyrie in terms. He's less than Kyrie for how many games he might actually play.
When he's played, he's been okay. He's been pretty good
when he
plays.
He's scared to death to shoot the ball.
But everything else is good.
Okay, is that great? For a guy making the money he's making?
I mean, I think if you surround him, I don't want to destroy the conversation, though.
I'm just thinking, like, where could he possibly go? He could go to Portland. You can get Dame back.
Dame was hinting at that on Insta.
No, he was interested. They would play together.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but instead of that, you could send KD to Portland, and you could take Dame back and put Dame and Kyrie in the same backcourt. Not sure how that would work, but that would only be for 1 year. Dame would get out of obscurity in Portland. He would get to the Big Apple. Could you put some pieces around Dame and salvage it that way? I just think that it's fun from a Rockets perspective to think of the implosion, but you also have to be realistic in the fact that if they get rid of these massive contracts, they're going to have either tons of money to play with, or in the case of trading Durant, you're going to get a haul back.
See, I think it is kind of a mild implosion because you're not – I don't think Brooklyn's going to turn into the worst team in the NBA. Now, could they miss the playoffs and be like a late end of the lottery? Yeah, but really? I would think that's a success. But also, like, trading Kevin Durant's going to be difficult for all the reasons you just laid out, because you're never going to get equal value for Kevin Durant. We saw it firsthand in Houston. You're never going to get equal value for a James Harden. So, like, Kevin Durant could potentially be traded from the Nets for something very similar that we saw in Houston whenever the Rockets got all of the Nets stuff, right? So you could see Kevin Durant being traded to, let's just say, random team Phoenix for a ton of first-round draft picks and cap filler. Because, look, if he's demanding a trade, we saw how willing and able Rafael Stone was to trade James Harden away from the Rockets and work a deal with James Harden to figure out where he wanted to play, you could see the same thing happening in Brooklyn. Like, if they don't play hardball and they're like, okay, Kevin Durant, we're going to suit what you want, just like Rafael Stone suited what James Harden want, like, you could be getting a ton of draft picks back for Kevin Durant if that's the way that Brooklyn wants to play it. So it's very difficult to, like what you said, project where Kevin Durant could be heading to and what he's getting in return. I don't think it's going to be, like, nearly as good as what Kevin Durant can produce.
But I think from a Nets perspective, you can kick back and you're going to get all the offers in the world. You don't have to call anybody. They're all going to be calling you. Now, if KD wants to do what Kyrie did and say, or what James Harden did, and be the prima donna superstar move and say, I only want to be traded to these teams, go ahead and try that. But we got you under contract till 26. At some point, some teams got to put their foot down and say, look, we're going to take the best offer for us. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to be here and you have once-in-a-lifetime value to us and or to other teams, I've got to do what's in the best interest of my franchise to stay relevant. So I need to, you know, start getting some guys in return, whether you keep Kyrie after this year or not. And again, it's a big make-or-break year for Kyrie. He's got to prove that he's going to stop flaking out and needing games off. He's got to prove that he's going to play a majority of the games. He's got to prove he can be a good teammate, not just to his teammates, but to his coaching staff.
And what they have, too. I mean, if Kevin Durant's gone, and if, you know, Ben Simmons is on the floor, like, what's around Kyrie Irving?
Got to be shooters.
But it's gonna, like, I don't think that's a contender. Like, can they make the playoffs?
Depends on what
Conference?
You get back from Durant. I think if you get if you get a package that's, it could be a three-way trade too, where you get resources from different teams. If you get Dame back for KD, I don't think you're taking it in the shorts.
Is Portland willing to do that, though?
Like, yeah, I think Portland realizes that they've almost already... Look, they've tried to almost do the restart button around Dame. Think about all the guys they got rid of, from McCollum to they got rid of Covington.
Sure.
They got rid of role players. Norman Powell, who they thought was going to be a piece to help them. So I think that around them, you see a bunch of young kids. So if you bail out on Dame...
See, I think Portland would be more willing to do all of the first-rounders and everybody that we have except for Dame to team them together than they would be to trade Lillard
for
Durant.
That's not enough for the Nets to take the deal.
See, it depends on what the Nets are going to want. Are they going to want a bunch of first-rounders to try to
find some
of the draft capital?
We're talking about a team that feels like they have to win.
You talking about
the
Brooklyn?
Nets. Yeah.
But I mean, can you win if Kevin Durant's leaving?
Too, those guys have said, look, we want to be better. It's one thing to say we want to be the team in the Big Apple better than Knicks. That's not saying a whole lot.
It's fascinating. It's going to be fascinating to see what Brooklyn does.
We might actually have to talk basketball every day.
Brooklyn's going to be the Cleveland Browns to us, right, in this city. Like, we're all watching the Cleveland Browns situation and the Deshaun Watson cases that, you know, rumored here, rumored there. We're going to be monitoring Cleveland because the Texans own their first rounders for the next few years. We're going to be watching Brooklyn in this whole Kevin Durant saga from a Rocket perspective all season as well. People are asking, would you take Kevin Durant in Houston?
Why wouldn't you?
Whoa, really? I did not expect that answer from you.
Why wouldn't you? I mean, he's still got multiple years left. And here's the thing. You don't have to keep him either. But you could take him and flip him if you had to.
I don't think you're going to do that.
But I mean, you want him. Here's the thing. It would change your perspective. Tillman's already kind of under the radar, been telling people he's already like he needs veterans. He's already kind of getting worn out by just all these young kids. But I think that if you could get Kevin Durant, you now become a destination. You're going to get John Wall's contract off the books. You could pick who you pair with him. You could make a quick turnaround run for a couple of years with Kevin Durant. Who wouldn't want to try that? You don't have to worry about if the young kids pan out or not. Now you're just worried about the sweeteners around Kevin Durant to be a competitive team for a couple more years.
See, I don't know if I want to hitch my wagon to the Kevin Durant trade. Okay. Jordan says, let's keep it 100. Contracts haven't mattered in years in this league. Durant will get what he wants. See, I tend to believe that because Kevin Durant could be like, okay, well, you can trade me to Phoenix or I'm just not going to play. So that is something we see a lot in the NBA. We saw with Ben Simmons refusing to play for the Sixers. We saw it basically with James Harden, how that all played out as well. So I do believe that there is some merit to what Jordan's saying, that Kevin Durant's going to go where Kevin Durant wants to go, even though he's got a contract with the Brooklyn Nets.
So here's the thing, too. In trying to think of where he goes, someone suggested on Twitch, would the Bucks send Middleton and
NBA's crazy.
Whatchamacallit? Who's their point guard? Drew Holiday.
Drew Holiday.
Would Holiday and Middleton be enough? If I'm the Nets, I don't think that's enough. I would like a package centered around Damon Lillard, but I don't think that, because we've already discussed, like, they're like glorified. They're glorified role players paid really well.
Yeah.
But I think when I look at Holiday and Middleton, I don't think at the kind of clout and abilities that I would think of in a Damon Lillard.
Yeah, I just don't think you're going to get equal value for Kevin Durant. Like, you might get the best offer that is out there if you play hardball for Durant, although Durant's going to have some say of where he wants to go as well. Situation to monitor, though, if you're a Rockets fan, Kevin Durant requesting a trade out of Brooklyn. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Damian Pierce, how good's he going to be as a rookie? Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
4624 saying, we'll get to Damian Pierce in a moment. Durant said it's two teams that he prefers, the Suns or the Heat. Somebody else, I think somebody else said Phoenix as well on the Twitch line. Pick right now. Where does Kevin Durant play next season?
Portland.
Brendan and I are going Phoenix because we talked about it during the break.
I just think if you don't give up Booker, you don't get Kevin Durant.
What are you getting from Portland, though?
Why would you want DeAndre Ayton?
Well, you could flip him. It could be like a three-way where like somebody else wants him. But like, what are you getting from Portland, though?
Dame.
But I mean, you have Damian Lillard, Kyrie Irving, and Ben Simmons?
For 1 year.
I mean, what does that do for your organization, though?
For 1 year, you're a playoff team.
Okay.
Okay.
That's not a contender, though.
I didn't say that.
Right.
But in 1 year's time, if I get Kyrie's salary, too, now I get Kyrie's salary to go get another, you know, stud player to put next to Dame. The thing that just my stomach turns every time I think about it is Ben Simmons. That just the name alone, and I cringe going, to think that that guy is going to be relied upon by any team to be a star player.
It's hard to trust him after last year. Prior to last year, he was good as an NBA player. Like, he wasn't a superstar. He wasn't like, you know, LeBron James, but he was very productive. But if you have Lillard, Kyrie, and Simmons, and maybe you can't count on Simmons, like, that's not a championship contender. Like, you're never going to get back for Kevin Durant what you have in Kevin Durant. I mean, you look at superstar trade after superstar trade in the NBA. You just
like
never
he wants
do.
To go to Miami. What are they giving up? Now, if they'll take Kyle Lowry, but they're not going to take Kyle Lowry because as much as they realize they got more than they bargained for out of Kyle Lowry in a bad way.
Somebody said Hero, Lowry, Robinson, a bunch of future first.
That's not enough.
There's never going to be enough, though.
No, but you have to at least be in the ballpark. And I think in the ballpark means you have to get a superstar caliber, whether it be salary-wise or ability-wise, back.
And
if
it depends.
If in the Miami trade, as much as Miami won't want to do this, it's Jimmy Butler.
It also depends. And look, Miami, I don't think they do it either. The allure is that you want to pair those two together. Like, it depends what Brooklyn wants. Like, if Brooklyn's willing to be the Rockets, which you're saying that they're not going to be because they have an owner that wants to win right now, then you could do a Rockets-like Harden trade where you get a bunch of first-rounders from a team, whether it's Phoenix, whether it's Portland, whether it's Milwaukee, whatever. But if you want to win, now you're probably looking at an aging former star like a Damian Lillard that you would want in return. But even then, like, that feels gross, right? Like, imagine being the team that's creating Kevin Durant for a package centered around Damian Lillard.
Joel, you're saying you'd have to get back a star in return for this Durant trade, but I would ask you, we see superstar trades in the NBA all the time. And how many of them include stars going both directions? That's incredibly rare.
Almost never. Almost never.
But it depends on the circumstances of the team's trading. I don't think when the Rockets traded James Harden, they were looking for a superstar in return.
No.
But I think from a Nets perspective, they are. And so I think that until they get to a point where they find out no one's willing to give you back close to what you're looking for, that's what they're looking for. They're not looking to rebuild. They're not looking to try and take a step backwards in the longer short term. They know that in 1 year's time, Kyrie is going to give them everything that they need in terms of who he's going to be.
I get them wanting that. But I just think about all the superstar NBA trades in recent memory, and the closest time to getting a superstar back in return I can think of is Ben Simmons, Joel. I can't think of another one.
Superstar trades
a year ago, so it was close.
Yeah, but you're telling me that he's as gross as you could think of. You can't imagine wanting somebody like him.
I didn't want him. I didn't want him with the Rockets. I didn't want, if I was a team, that was not.
Is there another one that you can think of?
Carrot for me, I'd have to really think about it.
The superstar trades that come to mind, like to me, are local because the James Harden trades obviously.
And you can't
won.
Count like the sign and trade when Durant already made up his mind he was leaving the
Warriors. Yeah, now you're just trying to get whatever you can
before
he bolts you for nothing. The superstar trades, as far as the Rockets are concerned, was the Harden trade. But the Rockets were rebuilding. You're saying the Nets aren't there. The other one that the Rockets were a part of is when they traded for Tracy McGrady. And you give away a Steve Francis, Coutinho Mobley, Kelvin Cato. So you give away pieces for what were like a fringe playoff team for a superstar level player like Tracy McGrady. Like, Orlando never got back what they were giving up in Tracy McGrady.
And it goes to the old adage. When you trade a superstar player, you're never going to get equal value in return.
Right.
I get that. But that doesn't mean that the Nets, it isn't in their best interest to try and pursue it until you find out no one's willing to do it, right?
Right. But that's kind of like, it begs the question. So like, at what point, like, who is the best player that you can get back? Because you're going to take pennies on the dollar. Like, you're going to take pennies on the Kevin Durant dollar. Like, that's just the way trades work in the NBA with superstars. If you get the best player, you won the trade. It might be Ayton. Ayton might be the best player that they can get back. Now, you can get creative and try to make it a three-way where you're getting back some more veterans, things like that. But Ayton might be the best player that you could get back in a Kevin Durant trade. 8693 saying he goes to Phoenix and Nets get back Ayton and picks. Not ideal for Nets, but they don't have much of a choice. That's the other thing, too. Like, you don't think Kevin Durant's going to power play this?
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
Exactly.
I think that's both sides of it. He's going to be picky where he goes. The Nets are going to try and be picky on what they get in return. Now, if either side or both sides are successful or not, it remains to be seen. But I think that when you think about it, Denver could be a player simply because I don't think they have to touch Jokic and they could still be in the mix. Because I think that if you take a Murray and you take a couple of their younger pieces and start putting it out there, that's a guy that you can build around for the short and long term. And you get a couple of sweeteners as well that can give you a better nucleus as a team.
Mm-hmm.
And then, again, when you get one of those big salaries back after a year, you can decide what you want to do going into 23.
You kind of put yourself in a position where you can strike right after that season. 713-780-ESPN. A few of the textures helping us out on star-for-star trades. The only other superstar-for-superstar trade I could think of is DeMar Rosen for Kawhi. See, I don't put DeRozan in that superstar category.
I don't either. Not at this point in his career. Now, he resurrected his career a year ago. Like, I mean, LeBron's kicking himself, right? Because if LeBron had it to do all over again, LeBron would have definitely loved to take DeMar DeRozan on his squad instead of the trade that got Russell Westbrook and basically helped to make them a far worse team and implode. I think that DeMar DeRozan added to the guys that they had on the team, the way he played a year ago, could have still made you a playoff team. But that's not what Brooklyn's looking for because they already have that. They have a combo guard that likes to shoot a ton in Kyrie Irving. You got to figure out what position he's going to play. If he's going to play the point, you need a two that can play off of him.
Yep.
Best case scenario is you get a three that can score on the wing and get his own. But again, like you guys said, it just depends on what teams are willing to offer because you know what you'd like to get, but can you get close to it?
You know, I don't think you think like NBA GMs. Because whenever you put together those, like, you know, ideas and thoughts, and I think you're right, actually, you're looking at constructing a lineup and constructing a roster, like players playing well with Kyrie, players playing well with, like, Jalen Green. Like, whenever we talk about the Rockets, I don't believe GMs look at it the way you do. I think that they're looking at the best players and just trying to figure it out.
You know what's funny? It's because it's a conversation that we've already had. It's looking too analytically instead of also considering the eye test and the chemistry that I think more GMs need to kind of consider.
I don't disagree.
Yeah, I think so. That's why I would say you're probably right, but I think being around the guys that I've been around my whole career too, I've learned a lot about the balance between the two, and both are very important. And so to just kind of like turn a blind eye to one of them and just focus on the other, I think you're actually screwing yourself in a lot of ways.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Tyler is saying that Westbrook for Chris Paul, superstar for superstar trade. That's one that the Rockets lost when they traded Chris Paul after Tillman Fertitta called it the worst contract in sports.
Why would you put two point guards that need the ball in their hands together with Kyrie and Chris Paul?
Well, no, we're just saying a star-for-star trade. Oh. Like, no one's saying that Westbrook and Chris Paul for, like,
oh,
Durant.
That trade. Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
Those were, at the time, both being called the worst contracts in sports.
Right. That was a bad contract for a bad contract. It's just one played better than the other when that trade was made. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Eddie, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's been a while, a long-time listener.
Thank you.
Hey, I was thinking, what do you guys think with Kevin Durant? Maybe the Pelicans. I feel like they got a lot of players that they could offer. Maybe Zion. What y'all say?
Zion. I see it. That's the other part of this equation, though. And I appreciate the call, Eddie. Durant's going to want to go there. So, like, would Kevin Durant be interested in New Orleans? Like, they have some interesting pieces. They have McCallum.
Well, CJ and Ingram. Yep. Brandon Ingram.
So, that would be a pretty good team. But what's the desire for Durant to go there? Like, why did Kevin Durant go to Golden State? Durant went to Golden State because, one, he was chasing championships, and he wanted to play with the Golden State Warriors and Curry and Draymond and Clay. Why did he go to Brooklyn? Because he wanted to pick the players that were going to play around him as well. So, if he's requesting a trade out of Brooklyn, he's going to want to go somewhere where he wants to play with somebody. And I guarantee you, he already has that team in mind. He already has a target where he wants to go. We just have to hurry up and wait to figure out who that team is.
Then it becomes, from the standpoint of Sean Marks, do I want to appease Kevin Durant, who we saw building our team around till 2026?
Or
do I want to get the best deal possible? Because, like, to your point, I think if New Orleans is making that trade, sure, they would flip-flop Kevin Durant for Brandon Ingram. But is Brandon Ingram...
Or Zion.
Yeah, Zion, to me, is a guy that shouldn't be factored in as a superstar. Because, again, can you rely on him? Can you trust him to be healthy and be around and be part of the team?
But going to the point where you were talking about, like, who is the best player you can get in return for Kevin Durant, would you rather have Zion or Ayton?
No, but, I'd probably have the marketability of a Zion over an Ayton.
I think Zion has more upside. There's more risk with Zion, but there's more upside with Zion.
Would you take in a package in return to be the Nets, would you consider Brandon Ingram, who is said to be very kind of Kevin Durant-ish in his style of play?
I mean...
And he's younger. Could you build around him and make him a piece with Kyrie and feel good about that?
I think you could build around him and make him a piece with Kyrie to be a top four team in the Eastern Conference. Mm-hmm. Don't think you're a championship contender.
No, I agree with that.
But I don't think
that's a different conversation.
I don't think that possibility exists. 713-780-3776. Let's keep this going. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now, from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Kevin Durant has requested a trade out of Brooklyn. Obviously, this is significant for the Houston Rockets, who own the draft rights for the Brooklyn Nets. They're first rounders. They have the rights to them for the all the way through the 2027 season. In the odd years, they have the pick swap option. In the even years, they own the first rounder outright. So, of course, Rocket fans are hoping that the Nets turn into a big dumpster fire. We thought it was going to be Kyrie Irving with his opt-out that would start the domino effect, and that would lead to maybe Kevin Durant wanting out or demanding a trade. But it doesn't matter. See, Kyrie Irving opted in, and Kevin Durant's still requesting a trade.
Jeremy, I think this does say a whole lot about not just how far the relationship has fallen between Durant and Kyrie Irving, but literally as it relates to the fact that Kevin Durant has said throughout the process, even when it started with the vax issues, he basically was like, Kai's going to do what Kai's going to do. We're here to support him. Where the rest of the team was kind of mums the word, because if you got them to really speak what they felt, they realized this dude thought he was bigger than the team, bigger than the coaching staff. He was making his own practices. He was not listening to Steve Nash. He was doing all these things that a good teammate wouldn't do, regardless of how much you're paid and how good you are, right? But even in the negotiations this offseason, he said, I'm going to stay out of it. But then after he opted in, everybody was saying, look, I said it to you yesterday, at a certain point, KD's got to be involved in this, because he's signed for longer and means more to your franchise. You got to figure out what he's feeling. Does he want to play with him long term? Because if I truly feel like, and we go to the Batman Robin scenario, but if KD is top of the pie chart or the food chart, I need to know, are you willing to play with him for the next 4 years? Because if not, I'm not even considering re-signing him. I can't, because I can't lose both of you.
You even don't, I mean, it's hard to say that too, because Kyrie's has one more year left on his deal. So, like, you're committing to a Kyrie who kind of, like, goes in and out based on, like, with the winds flowing that day. So it's hard to, understand. Oh, you're talking about trading Kyrie?
If you had to, if, like, having the conversation with KD was a must, because then from the coaching staff, and do you want Nash back, is one conversation. But the bigger conversation where it all starts and ends is how do you feel about Kyrie? Can you go and play another season with him and just see how it goes? And if the answer is no, then I got to look to move Kyrie before we even start playing basketball, because I can't afford to rock the boat with my best player.
Yeah, it's going to be I think Phoenix is the most likely scenario. I'd be curious to see what the Vegas odds are saying. I'll try to look that up during the break. Jordan saying, what if the Rockets traded back all of Brooklyn's picks, pick swaps for Durant? Would y'all do that deal with this young nucleus? For me, it's hard to do that. I feel like you're far away from winning a championship right now with the Rockets are. Jalen Green, Jabari, like, you don't know what they're going to be. I'm not trading all of what I've built, and I've put myself in a good position to build with Green, with Jabari, with the future draft picks. Like, you feel like you have a nucleus that can be very good in, like, three seasons, and then you're hoping that they're really good, like, years 3 through 7, years 3 through 10. Kevin Durant is going to be 34 years old by the time the season tips off. I'm not sure I want to abandon this rebuild and everything I've worked very hard to build and still have a lot to look forward to for a 34-year-old who, Kevin Durant's still very good. But at 34 years old, it's hard for me to blow it all up for that one guy, especially whenever he wants to leave every other year, it seems like.
Yeah, I think you bring up the best point is, you know, if KD was younger and didn't have medicals that also could concern you, because you know what, as good as he was in that playoff series against the against Milwaukee when Milwaukee won it, and everybody said they were a toenail away from advancing, even without Kyrie and with James Harden on one leg, you realize he's not the same player he was prior to the injury in the finals when he was already fighting a different injury, right? So we look at that when we say Klay Thompson the same way. When you come back, you don't know if you're ever, especially at his age, we don't know if he's ever going to be where he was. But he was the best offensive player in the world. So now you look at it and say, look, with the guys that you have with the Rockets, the window's wide open, and you're not a playoff team yet, so the clock's not really ticking. But once you become a playoff team, there's nothing that says you can't stay relevant for a long period of time because of how young all your nucleus is. If you decide to just blow that up for Kevin Durant, now your window instantly becomes immediate, and it's in a 2 to 3 year span. Is it worth it to take a swing for the fences to try and win another one for the city? Because after that, God knows what you got.
Yeah, and also, like, there's the other side of that. Like, how, like, Kevin Durant at this stage of his career, 33 years old, won a championship with Golden State, has done pretty much everything you can do in the NBA, has tons of money, has more money than he'll ever need. So you know all of that. Kevin Durant's not going to want to go to a team that just had the worst record in all NBA. Mm-mm. Kevin Durant's going to be looking to go somewhere. And look, I know Kevin Durant's under contract for the Brooklyn Nets, but let's be realistic how the NBA works. When a player's under contract and he demands a trade, he has a pretty big say on where he's going to want to go. Kevin Durant would not allow himself
not
to be traded
want to
go, Houston.
Recent history amongst a multitude of sports will tell you he's going to dictate where he's going to go.
It's almost free agency. Like NBA's nuts. Like, let's be honest. Like, the NBA offseason is fascinating. The NBA offseason every year has a story like this, and it's all of a sudden, do you want to pair Kevin Durant with the Greek Freak? Like, what? What other sport is that the case where you have two superstars and you're talking about doing that, but it's all the time in the NBA. Kevin Durant's done it before with Golden State. Kevin Durant, I think, said the other day, I'm paraphrasing and guessing, I guess, kind of here, that he wouldn't be opposed to going back to Golden State at some point in his career. I think Draymond even referred to that on his podcast, saying he wouldn't hate playing with Kevin Durant again at some point in his career. So, like, maybe that's an option. Maybe Kevin Durant goes back to Golden State.
But they got to give to get, right? And they got to come
within
15%.
They got a bunch of young pieces, though, yeah, but those, and some salary.
So it's
doable.
You could overpay your boy, Jordan Poole.
Yeah.
And send him along if the Nets are saying, but I think if you're the Nets, you're weighing all your options first to figure out, what's my best case scenario, right? Because unlike the Harden deal, you understand KD has a wish list. I'm trying, in this case, I have to do the right thing to get as much value in return as I can. So the interesting thing, now that the piece is coming out on ESPN, they're saying Durant had no contact with Kyrie Irving once he decided he was opting in. That tells you even more to what I was saying about the fact that this was more about Kyrie, I think, than the Nets. And this was more about KD saying, I'm done with Kyrie now. And we know he can be emotional, right?
Sure, but if you're the Nets, just trade Kyrie. Like, if it's that simple with Durant.
No teams want him.
But I mean, but if the conversation, okay, fine, cut him. Like, if it means keeping Kevin Durant, like, you get rid of Kyrie Irving.
In today's NBA, you're not cutting him.
But if it means okay, so let me play out the options here for you. Either cut Kyrie or you're trading Kevin Durant. Which of the two do you want?
Well, Sean Marks has already taken calls saying that he's working with Durant and his people to trade Kevin Durant. I think that tells
you. See, I think it's more than Kyrie, though. I think he wants to go somewhere else. Because if it came simply down to Kevin Durant saying it's me or Kyrie in Brooklyn, what does Brooklyn say?
Well, you should say it's Kevin Durant,
yeah,
right? Because he's under contract
just
26.
Kyrie. Yep.
But I think that when you look at, and this goes back to the Nets' moves when Prokhorov was on the team.
Yep.
When he decided to throw the entire kitchen sink to get Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett
that
were
big three.
Way, way, way past their prime and failed miserably. You look at all the moves that they made and just what a dramatic soap opera it's been with James Harden coming in, with Kyrie and all of his antics, with Kevin Durant, not only with his sensitivities and all the things that, you know, get him from Charles Barkley to everything else with his burner accounts and all that, and they're falling short every time you thought they had a legit chance. And now it's just like, I think from everybody's perspective, they're drained, they're tapped out. But now who gets to be the beneficiary of them trying to pick up the pieces and sort through this mess that I don't think they're going to come close to getting what they need to get in return.
What is a realistic best-case scenario from a Rocket perspective with Kevin Durant requesting a trade?
That he goes and they bail on Kyrie, too. Because here's the key. You can take Russell Westbrook back now.
See, Kyrie, to me, like, okay, he's there for one more year and then he leaves in free agency.
Right.
I think that that's a pretty good scenario, too.
Well, but you can do the same thing with Russ.
Yeah.
But you get a guy that's going to play every night. He might not be the guy that you want to see shooting the basketball, but now the Lakers get their guy instead of having to pay him six. And because the big holdup in all of that possible sending Kyrie to the Lakers, who was, from everybody's opinion, the only team that had any interest in trying to make Kyrie work because no one wanted to touch him from all the other antics. But they couldn't make that trade because Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook are oil and water. They didn't want to play together.
Yeah.
If KD leaves and now you can send Kyrie to the Lakers and get Westbrook back, you still get the expiring contract, but you get at least a name recognition draw for a year, and then you can completely start with a ton of money.
Yeah, it would be difficult, though, because your roster's so bare to attract good free agents that are ready to win. And I think one angle that we've talked about, but we haven't associated it directly to Brooklyn in this whole scenario, like, we talked about the Harden, and when Rockets traded Harden to Brooklyn, they got back all the first-round rights for Brooklyn for the next 7 years. Because the Rockets have those Brooklyn picks, I think it speaks to your point that Brooklyn's not going to want to tank. Brooklyn's not going to want to lose. Like, you're not going to trade Kevin Durant for seven first-rounders from the Phoenix Suns, who look like they're going to be good for quite some time, whenever you don't have your own picks? Like, what's the sense of breaking it all down when you don't have your own first rounders?
That's a great point. On top of everything else and the pressure in the city of New York as always being the second fiddle to try and stay relevant, if you don't have your own picks, there's no sense in doing a rebuild unless all you get is great picks from a team that has
high
picks, and you're not going to be able to do that either.
So I think it is going to be a situation where Brooklyn's going to be looking to get the best veteran that they can possibly get back, you know, whether it's an Ayton, whether maybe they'll kick the tires on Lillard, but they're going to try to be good because they can't afford to be bad. They can't afford to be the worst team in the NBA because they don't have the rights to their first-round draft picks because the Houston Rockets do, but I think that's a dangerous spot to be because if you're aiming for mediocrity for a couple of years, usually that mediocrity is going to lead to failure over the next like 3 to 5 years after that.
I mean, you got to look at the free agency market and just say, if I could just do nothing but picks and stockpile cash, losing two max players, could I go out and pair two guys that are going to be on the market together to fill the void? Just from what we talked about alone, analytics is one thing, what their scoring and rebounding averages and things like that are. Could they play together? You just don't know.
Yeah, you're guessing. Yeah. The NBA offseason is wild, and Kevin Durant requesting a trade from the Nets could be beneficial for the Houston Rockets, who own the rights to the Nets' first rounders all the way until the year 2027. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Who would you rather travel with, the planner or the winged guy? And how has the Gotham Gauntlet impacted your view on the Astros as World Series contenders? It's the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Brad Kellner in here with us. You'll hear him on the Wheelhouse 3 to 7. How come you Texas boys aren't loyal? Kevin Durant requesting a trade out of Brooklyn.
I'm loyal.
You are. How come the rest of you aren't?
It's KD, all of us.
I don't know. Do you claim them?
At what point are you bailing from the Wheelhouse saying, I just can't take this anymore, trade me?
I'm surprised it hasn't happened
already. I'm telling you. I'm just asking the question.
I see the schmucks I work with. Happy birthday, Jeremy.
Thank you. I was wondering what you were playing around with.
Got you a gift.
Oh, yes, you did. Nice.
Thank you, yeah.
It's a $10 Rudy's gift card.
Some barbecue bucks.
Now, I may have used it already.
It excludes all my favorite things.
You can get food.
It's got a list of things that it excludes.
It excludes car wash. What, you were going to get a car wash?
There's a couple of other things listed on here.
Okay. Well, yeah, there might be like $2.30 on it, or there might be $10 on it.
Rudy says car wash?
Some of them. It might be enough for a breakfast taco. I like their brisket breakfast tacos, so I appreciate this. Thank you, BK.
You're welcome.
I'm curious to see how much I owe whenever I use it. But thank you very much. Thank you very much. Who would you rather travel with? Brendan's traveling today. He's going to Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Should be a lot of fun. But he's going with his old man. He's going to go visit his brother there as well. One of them is a winged guy. One of them is a planner. Like, you know, one of them setting the itinerary. This is what we're doing here. We're going to go bowling here. One of them just like, I want to chill and we'll figure it out as we go. Which of those two, first off, two questions here, but that one first. Which of those two would you rather travel with, the planner or the winged guy?
The planner.
Okay, really? Why?
Because I'm the winged guy. Two winged guys together leads to disaster, and it leads to nothing getting done. One winged guy and one planner means, okay, you do a lot of the things that were planned, but also you do some winging as well. So it's the perfect complement. It's the perfect partnership having one of each.
Okay, that makes sense to me. Yeah. You need to have one of the two. You can't just have two winged guys. Otherwise, you're just going to be like watching TV the whole trip. You need somebody that has a little bit of initiative to be like, okay, let's go bowling. Let's go to the movie.
Yeah, you're not an eye test guy. You're more of an analytics guy. So it kind of all blends. Yeah, I can see that.
Am I?
Yeah, you don't want two analytics guys because then you don't take into consideration the eye test.
Exactly. Yeah, you want a nice balance.
I could go with that.
Mm-hmm. What a nice balance.
Are you an analytical guy?
But I'm not going to Eau Claire.
Yeah.
On easy,
my
chief.
What?
My guy? Easy, my guy.
Oh, come
easy,
on.
Easy, my dude.
What did I do for this?
Come on. Easy, my dude.
I was having a good
day. It's a town in my home state. Lay off.
You don't live there anymore.
No.
Did you ever live in Eau Claire?
With a lot of good reason. No.
Okay.
There's a reason why. Yeah, he just told you. Yeah. So which do you think Brendan is? Do you think Brendan's the planner or the winger?
You think Dad put cow tipping on late night?
No. Can you get a good steak in Wisconsin?
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like it'd be a good place to get a good steak.
There's enough cattle.
I think Brendan.
And there's good steaks, too.
Nice.
Cow tipping is a thing, too, in the rural towns.
Is that right?
I'm going to say Brendan's dad is not a fan of cow tipping.
Can they venture away from dad at a certain point? Can they break away to the local watering hole?
I don't know how the Riley family handles their vacations.
Yeah, I don't know.
What do you think Brendan is, the planner?
Is cow tipping a planned move, or is it a wing it move?
When there's not enough bars and establishments serving alcohol, you look for any kind of fun you can have, and that turns out to be one of the things.
Okay, so that's planned. That's part of the itinerary.
It depends on who you're asking in the Riley family, if it's planned or winging.
I think Brendan's a planner.
You think Brendan's the planner?
Yeah. I don't think he's a planner when it comes to everything, but I think there are certain aspects of the trips that he wants to
make. So Brendan was the one that wrote up the itinerary of everything they're going to do.
No, not everything, but I think he's particular about food. Mm-hmm. I think he's particular about a couple of other details as well. I wouldn't say he's like taking over and saying, okay, I'm planning the whole schedule and you have to do what I say, but I think he's going to give some input. I don't think he's just going to wing the whole thing.
You would be wrong.
Yeah.
I prefer to have basically no plans. Just figure it out as we go.
It's all his dad that put together the minute-by-minute itinerary.
Video games in Eau Claire are better sometimes than video games on his couch here in Houston.
I'm not going to see Eau Claire, Joel.
Okay. Well, look, you can
go to see my brother.
You can tip the cow, and maybe the cow will tip you. If it lands on you, you're in trouble.
I will tell you with confidence there will be video games played while I'm there.
Okay.
With no doubt.
So you're flying across the country to play Xbox.
I mean, I'm flying across the country to visit my brother.
Okay. And play Xbox.
We play video games together, yes.
Is your dad going to sit and watch? And
we're not going to play video games.
You're just
going
to throw your dad
time.
In the corner to like be forced to watch you two duke it out on some Xbox?
My dad goes to bed at like 8:30. I'm going to have stuff to do at night.
Well, at least the itinerary isn't planned after 8:30.
The itinerary ends at 8:30. Yeah. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Yeah, he was the winged guy.
Till it starts at 6 a.m. and then you're pissed off.
Yeah. Don't stay up too late playing the video games, Brendan, because that itinerary might get started as soon as the sun is
breakfast up. Breakfast at 6:15, Brendan, now.
And Eau Claire. Is cow tipping still a thing? Do people still do that?
I don't know if they
2022?
I could text a few people to find out, but it was a thing for quite a while.
Huh.
I've never done it.
Doesn't hurt the cow.
It doesn't hurt. It doesn't feel great for the land.
It could hurt the person that doesn't tip it, right?
Well, how does the cow get back up?
When it wakes up?
It can get back up?
Yeah.
So it doesn't wake up on collapse? It doesn't wake up when it hits the ground?
I mean, I don't know the idiosyncrasies that much of the cows anymore. I just know that you can get away with it. And first of all, they're not going to track you down. The cow's not going to be mad and track your ass down before you run out out of the field.
What's the 40 time on those things?
Exactly.
Okay, clearly I know nothing about cows because I thought the whole appeal of cow tipping was you push the cow over and it can't get up. I guess
it's
stuck there.
Fast.
No, but it's just like stuck there. Like unless somebody lifts the cow up, then he's...
Who's lifting a cow, especially if it...
Exactly.
Okay.
I thought you were basically offing the cow here. That's why people did it.
My favorite thing about a cow is the steak. That's pretty much all I need to know about a cow. It's where I stand on that. The Astros are running out their JV lineup today. Not Justin Verlander. He's not pitching today. But no Yordan. Yordan's out of the lineup. Jeremy Pena out of the lineup. Apparently still in the concussion protocol, which they flew back with the team. Hope they passed that concussion protocol before they flew back with the team.
Yeah.
But Altuve... Ledmus Diaz in left field batting second. Tucker in the three hole. You have Bregman, Yuli, Matijevic gets a start at the DH, and then Dubon Myers, Maldonado, with Luis Garcia on the bump for the Houston Astros tonight. For the final game of the Gotham Gauntlet, the Astros are 6-2 in the first 8 games of the Gotham Gauntlet. How has the Gotham Gauntlet impacted your view of the Astros as World Series contenders because of how they fared in the Gotham Gauntlet?
Yeah, look, I heard y'all talking about it to open up the show. I think you have to be feeling really good about this team, right? I mean, most people, I think, were feeling pretty good about this team going into this stretch, but that was the one big question we sort of had. And it wasn't the Astros' fault, just the schedule shaped up to where, well, they weren't really battle-tested to this point into the year. But the fact that they're 6-2 with a chance to be 7-2 against the two best record teams in all of baseball, that should give you a ton of confidence that your team can hang with the best, and you're still one of the biggest contenders in all of the league.
Do you think that it so you think the Astros are World Series contender right now?
I do.
How do you think it affects the deadline with how you've performed in these last 8 games?
So I think, look, you still have to add pieces, right? The Yankees are going to add, the Dodgers are going to add, the Mets are going to add. All of the contending teams to get better. So you have to do something to make sure you keep pace, but maybe you don't feel like you need a major splash anymore. Like if you went 2-7 or 3-6, and center field was giving you nothing, and Bregman hadn't turned it around, and Yuli was struggling, then it's like, dude, we need something here. Like, this was our test. We need more than just a reliever and, like, a rotational or like, a rotational player out there.
Yeah.
But because you're 6-3 or 7-2 in this stretch, you still need to add, but maybe you don't feel like you need to make as major of a splash as you thought you did.
I wonder what like a medium splash looks like, though. Like, is it like a lefty you can bring in for an out in the sixth, like when you're facing a lefty with two outs in the inning? Like, I don't know what a medium splash looks like.
Medium splash to me is what they did last year. Maybe a couple of bullpen pieces and like a player or two, but it's not Josh Bell. It's not Wilson Contreras. It's not, you know, giving up your farm to get one of those guys or Brian Reynolds or something like that, which, look, if they did, I'd be okay with it, yeah, too. But you know other teams are going to be in the market, so the price is going to be pretty steep.
Center field's interesting to me because it's the final year of Brantley's deal. You're like, oh, why are you bringing up center fielder and a left fielder? But if you were to trade for like a Brian Reynolds, you have your natural fit in left field going into next season without anything you have to do in the offseason. So that's a name that intrigues me.
Yeah.
I think that the best case scenario, like, I think Blankers and I are a little bit different in the sense of, like, I don't think that the Astros need to make a move. Blankers wants to see one a little bit more than me. I'm more, it's a luxury as opposed to a necessity. I think Blankers is on the other side a little bit. I think where we find common ground is the name that you brought up, where you trade a surplus of what you have on the big league team for a Kendall Graveman type. And I'm wondering if that surplus could be what you have in center field, like a Chaz McCormick, who might be intriguing to some teams. He's not a super prospect. He's not anybody you're going to build a team around. But he's solid, like Toro was solid.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. If you, because we already know that their farm system is depleted. But if you have a position of strength for your organization, and maybe it starts on the big league roster, but even still, if it's like finding, what's your guy that ended up in Miami? That
Yimmy.
Brian
De La Cruz.
De La Cruz. If you find a De La Cruz that wasn't on your radar a year ago, wasn't rated in your farm system, and he's knocking the crap out of it in AAA, and someone wants him, and you can get a guy with closing experience, you know, on a major league roster, why not?
Yeah, I'm with it 100%. And look, if you've got a pick, my goal is to go all in.
Yep.
Right. Like, obviously, you want to be smart with your trades.
How far all in? You going to give up Brown?
This window is clearly open. Brown, to me, is the one guy I would avoid.
See, I would be open to Leon in the right deal.
But, yeah, I would, too. I think just about everybody else in the Astros farm system I'd be open to trading, obviously, for the right guy.
Christian Javier.
Yes.
You would trade him?
Oh, no. I don't know
Luis
if you're
Garcia.
Asking me about Christian Javier or not.
Like, if it meant getting Brian Reynolds, or it meant getting Josh Bell, or if it meant getting Trey Mancini.
Yeah, I'd trade Luis Garcia and deal with those guys.
Sure. Okay.
Like, I'd want some clarity on the Lance McCullers situation to make sure he's actually going to come back this year. And look, I don't know if we'll get that clarity, and I don't know how good he's going to be if he does come back, but you've got a surplus of starting pitching. You don't start all of those guys in the playoffs. I'd be up for it.
I'd hate to see Luis Garcia go, but the surplus is a reason why you could.
I want to keep this for tomorrow. But
okay, let's keep it for tomorrow.
Okay, let's keep it
because
for tomorrow.
I'm building the rundown tomorrow, so I need all I can help.
Oh, that's right.
I need everything I can get.
Because we'll still have it tomorrow.
Okay. What's coming up on the wheelhouse?
The reason why craziness is going on in the sports world today. I knew it was coming, and I'll tell you why I knew it was coming.
Oh, that's good.
To open up the show, too. You don't have to wait.
Good.
No, so I'll hear it on the way home.
I got to race to my car. Very good. Make sure you keep it here for the wheelhouse. Thanks to Brendan doing all the hard work. Enjoy that vacation your dad has planned. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We'll talk
Happy
to you
birthday,
tomorrow,
Branham.
Houston. The wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.